Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epier.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. Here we go, my man. Teaching start of the year right around the corner. Mm. Holidays, they creep up faster and faster, don't they? You think that, you know, you've got plenty of time left and it's almost a never-ending run of good times, and suddenly before you know it, high school and the teaching career is there and it's time to get back into it. How you been, man? Been a week since last episode?
Oh, yeah, bro. Just going to go back to what you were saying about, you know, how the holidays are creeping up towards the end and stuff. Then all of a sudden you're walking through shops and you see stationery lists up on there, all the pens and different aisles and books and kids running around and parents sort of thing getting themselves organized.
Okay. Yeah.
It's one of those things where every year you say you're going to do things. Well, I say I'm going to do things anyway, and like time does get away. But yes. I'm happy this year around because I think this has been one of the most relaxing holidays in a sense.
Good.
Because that magical list of things that just creates itself usually is there, but not this year.
Yeah, man, that list is never ending as well. And I have that holiday list now as well. I can't get to it during the term, too busy doing the holidays. Before you know it, one or two things like spiraled into like half a page to a full page to a mini thesis. But just to go back to your point, man, with stationery, did a cheeky duck into Officeworks last week, thinking I'll beat the rush to be there. Yeah. Man, it's like every high school student and parent in North Perth, northern suburbs of Perth, is over there. I couldn't believe it. Wins and losses, highlights for the week.
Oh, I'll tell you what, wins are definitely on the cards in the sense of like where we are with my wife and I with church. I've been walking along to the old bro Jesus, so yeah. I think one of the losses though was just my daughter going through a bit of a hard time. But, you know, it's all part of the learning curve. She all learns on this. But I think it's that extra toll that it has, not just on her, but also on us as parents, trying to make sure she's okay and getting her through to the next stage.
Sure. Let us know if you need anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit different. I got to the gutters, mate. The gutters was my highlight for the week for the first time in probably 2 years. So I found some things up there, probably shouldn't be there. On the plus side, they're heading in the right direction now. That and the Green Verge collection. Like, I've been here for 10 years. Yeah. Every year, forget when it is. I'm pulling out of the driveway a couple of days ago, and I start to see piles just getting larger and larger on people's verges. So I thought, now's the time. So managed to get that down, was good. So it's all heading in the right direction.
I think you're right there, though. That green verge thing, nobody actually really knows when they give a time frame, sort of.
Yeah.
But you just sort of watch around the neighborhood just to see what's going on.
I reckon they keep us on our toes as well. They keep changing the date around. Now, if anyone from the civil tuned up is listening to this, please, can you send me out the hit list of the dates? I appreciate it. Mate, so I'm thinking with school starting up next week and a large number of newly graduated teachers possibly about to walk out into their first teaching positions, I think now might be a good time to ride down memory lane and take a look at our first few years in teaching and what it was like. What do you reckon?
Yeah, most definitely. I think if I reminisce back that far, geez, from what I was to where I am now, geez, I'll tell you what, years and time spent in this profession, you can reflect back and think, wow, that's what it was before, and this is what I'm like.
So 22 years now, 20 years.
Yeah, 20, got out in 2000, so yeah. This is my 23rd year now.
Yeah, I find the same, because I'm 15 years in, but I find that, like, especially when I talk to new staff coming into the profession, it spins my head, like, sort of think back that time, and just, you learn so much in those first couple of years as well. And I think for me, my first starting point, or the I got a smack in the face, was doing the dip ed in the mid-2000s, and we had the dip ed coordinator there, like, first lecture telling us that one in three graduates are going to drop out of the profession in the first 2 years. By the first 5 years, 50% of new graduates will have moved on from the industry. I think, like, them is kind of like a wake-up call to, this isn't just go and do as a backup plan, like, it's here for a reason. You know, we're doing this, it's going to be tough. I guess looking at that, so knowing that now, why do you head into teaching to start with?
Good question. Like, I'll look at the fact, like, when I was growing up, I had a couple of teachers that really inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, high school had a Māori teacher, old school age, like, he was really, like, he would have been around older than Chris Duncan or even Dave Mullen. A couple of the mates that I've worked with in before, but this guy,
wizards of the profession.
Oh, he was just, I remember walking into the classroom and me being at the front with all my cousins, all my friends. We were just too noisy, and me being at the front just got this big wake-up call from him, and it was like a ruler.
Yes.
And I remember the rule. And then I never entered his class. And I thought to myself, why did you do that? But the cool thing was he actually sat down with us boys and said, look, you guys have got a lot more to offer.
Yes.
You know, acting silly has its time and place. Now is not the time and place.
Yeah.
So he put us on, he put me on the straight and narrow. He took me under his wing, actually. And he took me all the way through until I graduated high school.
Yep.
And the cool thing was is that he took certain people under his wing who he noticed had quite a lot of potential, people leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was one of the instrumental things that got me into my culture in regards to learning about kapa haka and stuff like singing and doing the haka back home. So long story short, it was another teacher that actually made me want to become a teacher to try and inspire the next young group of young men, mm-hmm. young ladies that... And just to also let people realize that they are actually better than what they think they are. They've got to have that ability to keep persevering, pushing through.
Definitely.
There are so many kids that I've watched. I've even seen a lot of my cousins, all of my mates.
Yep.
If only they had that perseverance and that drive to push through, but to have someone to say, hey, come on, this is what you need to do. I think that was the main reason. So when I went on to uni to get my degree in teaching,
yep.
it was one thing that I thought to myself, it'll set myself up at the same time. I had a daughter at straight out of high school and I had to get myself sorted out. So my then girlfriend, who is my wife now, we had to sort things out. So get thing under my belt, get qualified, start earning, and do something that I was quite passionate about.
Yeah.
I was passionate about teaching kids.
Yeah, on the same, man. I think definitely. I think passion's a big part of it. Oh. It's interesting though, like I went through high school and didn't enjoy it. I don't know... I think I just had way too much energy and there's some stuff going on in my life at the time. But I look back, I had some okay teachers, but no teachers are really like just, I think you're right, like pushing you beyond your barriers and making you realise that you're accountable. But if you put your mind to stuff, it's fascinating what you can achieve. But it is. I mean, I think for me, what turned me around, went through, did my first degree. I think I was in it for the wrong reasons. Got to the end. I was like, no, this isn't for me. Went travelling for a bit, came back, and I was like, you know what, I think my family's teachers, so I've got a heap of mum's a teacher, good Irish, stop there, mate, it's pretty much second nature back in Ireland, but it's, mum would always sit down and go, want to be a teacher in high school, like, there's no way ever going to be a teacher, not for it, and then came back from travels, I was like, you know what, maybe this starts to make sense, I think I do like helping people, I think it's a position in society that if it's, you know, it needs to, hundreds of years ago, it was one of the highest regarded positions in society. I think there's a lot of power for the right reason, but there's a lot of accountability there as well. I think if you can sort of start to get that across, even at a classroom level, you can gain some momentum there and, you know, start to make it, without trying to harp on too much, a bit of a difference, you know, larger in the classroom, hope that spread throughout society. But that and the lifestyle balance, mate, is...
Oh, man.
Later in life, I initially started teaching. I couldn't sit still, and I hated holidays. Now I can't wait for them. I think, look, it's 1 or 2 weeks in. I'm still recovering and stuff. And then another week and a half of just doing my own thing, especially in the long holidays. Sort of having that time to relax and come good again. Sort of because it is like it's preparing yourself mentally again for the next year. I mean, it's easier year to year. I find as it gets on, but it's definitely. That work-life balance for me at the moment makes sense and why I most appreciate it.
Oh,
yeah. And then the last thing is just that challenging environment. No 2 days are the same.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that for the non-teaching folk out there, just, you know, teachers get X amount of holidays per year, sure, but you see what we're doing day by day and then see what we go through and then, you know, it's fun. It's a wild ride, but it's definitely, I find, it's worth the experience.
I'm just going to come and jump on that because I think when you look at it, we wear so many different hats.
Mm.
You're a psychologist trying to help kids do different things. So it's a mixed bag. So I think teachers are out there in society are seeing as you guys only work for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks break and then you guys get a big one on holiday.
Yeah, that always frustrated me, man. That people used, not that quote used to go around years ago that people who can't do teach, well, that's not right. And, you know, what you go through day by day, it's just, I don't think it's fair either. But.
Yeah.
Sticks and stones, my man, sticks and stones. So let's go all the way back to your first prac experience.
Oh, yes, I am.
Without naming the school or people involved, how, I mean, do you remember what you were feeling walking into the classroom?
I was always quite confident going in. Like, one teacher that I did have, it was the planning side of things had to be. She was so specific. She wanted my planning right down to the very minute. So I had to literally have
lesson plans outlined with the objectives that I'm wanting to achieve, and with each objective, how much time I'm going to spend on each part. And I remember she said, you will not teach until I see your planning all the way down to the very...
Per minute, 66 intervals.
Yep.
That's crazy. There's so much happening in the classroom.
Oh, the downside with that was, as I've now learned over the years that I've been teaching, is that when natural learning moments occur, when things or life situations occur, jump on those things or those moments, because those are sometimes the most impactful moments. So you have to, I don't think she deviated enough from, like, it's good to have a structure. Absolutely, I absolutely agree with it. But one thing I did learn from this lady was, I think a year or two into my teaching, once I was fully registered, I said to myself, I will never get it down to that. I'll plan it, but I will never get down to the point where I'm so just hyper-focused just on making sure that it's this.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I think the power in, there's a bit of structure in teaching, you know, there is in the classroom, but there's a power in being organic and going with the flow of time. I think you're right, those life lessons that come up in the classroom, I found can be very powerful at times, actually sit there and pay attention to them.
Yeah.
But then sort of get hampered by curriculum needs and the rest of it. I know, so I started teaching in the country after I graduated, and you got there, which I look back now, I think there was 60 in my class for doing the dip ed. Mm. I think only 3 went country at the time. One went remote, it was my one up north.
Right.
Another one went closer to Perth. But I think, look, I really enjoyed it. I think it was a good experience. Obviously, there was incentives back then. Not sure now where they're at, but it's just that you got a different variety of people up there, and I got exposure to a lot of different teaching characters. Had a very good head of department up there, had been in the town for a while, very good with the kids, was there for the right reasons. But I remember, like, even my first lesson, man, like, same, similar to you, always walked in pretty confident to a classroom. But so I'm 23 or 24 on my first teaching, got the face of a 16-year-old man, so I'm sitting there, lesson one, I think I had year 12s, start up, got to the actual classroom, 10 minutes before the lesson, set everything up, and I'm sitting at the teacher's desk. It's like, yeah, here we go, time to shine. Look at Miles being all adult and professional. As letting the students in, no word of a lie, man, they're looking at me, going, get out of the teacher's desk. What are you doing here? I'm like, no, I'm the teacher. They're like, yeah, we're funny. Who's the new kid? What's going on here? And I couldn't believe it, man. Like, there goes all my confidence out the window. No word of a lie. I'm sitting there halfway through the lesson, like, delivering a lesson on linear moduli and equations. And they're just like, yeah, so when's the teacher getting here? I'm like, no, we've been through this. Let me teach you now. But I think it's those experiences that you look back at the time, they were hairy, but it sort of makes it part of the experience as well. And I think being in the country as well, it threw you in the deep end. So it was that sink or swim mentality. There was, if you're there, like, I try to get into the community a bit more as well with footy and the sporting things, which I think made a difference for me. But yeah, those first couple of years, man, I was just like, I hope it gets easier than this, because it is. And then there's all the planning you're doing as well, because everything's new. I think with people being quite transient and different schools and stuff, I just don't know. I think you get overwhelming. For teachers out there.
Yes, I think it's just understanding more. Just knowing the system, knowing how every school runs, it's things such as, you know, this is how we do our planning, this is how we go to here, this is what we do. So I think learning those systems are important, try and get your head around those real quick. And even if you don't be shy to ask questions to teachers that do know, or the more specific teachers that are learning. I think that was one of the cool things, was there was a couple of teachers that I could go to that sort of guided me here and there, or just sat me down and said, hey, this is what we can do early in my teaching career. So I just think and say this to anyone out there that's looking at going into teaching, I've just said, you know, take everything on board, you know, run with the things that work well for you. Like, a lot of the young teachers that I come across that come out of straight out of uni, a lot of people say, oh, go and watch this teacher, go and watch that.
Yep.
And it's good to see how it runs, but then also find your own flavour, your own style. You know, it's very important to come across.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Yeah. I think so. I think I'm a big believer in that. I think it's being proactive as well. Yeah. Seeing teaching is so unique to a personality.
Yes.
I think there's certain systems that will help you with your structure and your routines, but I think it's get around and see people who are similar to you, or you can take stuff from their toolkit as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they work well with this or work well with that. Doesn't have to copy their exact teaching style, but there's ways you can look at it.
Yeah.
To go first, so you graduated, you're through your dip ed now.
Yeah.
Your first day, do you you remember your first day in the classroom?
I actually left home and took my girlfriend at the time,
mm-hmm.
And my two young kids to an island. From travel, it was about an hour and a half away, so we had to jump onto a barge,
mm-hmm.
drive on and get barged across to this island. And so I won this teaching position, and it was amazing.
Yep.
And I think personally, this is the reason why I think I got the job there, was because I played rugby. I think the panel that looked at all the applicants threw out everyone else that didn't play rugby, and if you played rugby, you played for the local club. So I got on there, had a bit of rugby with the boys down there.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think, walking into that first classroom, I think going in early, setting up the classroom, back then I had blackboards.
Yeah.
Making sure everything is in place, making sure that you've got, you know, all dotted your I's, crossed your T's. And when the first kids come in, I think, because I'm quite big in the sense, like I'm quite a big person, a lot of kids' initial thoughts, I believe, is that they get, there's a bit of fear, that, oh, geez, who's this guy?
Yes.
But then once time happens and they get to know what I'm like, they know that I'm firm by fear.
Yes.
So I remember the kids that I started teaching, there's a couple of kids that cried, and I was like, oh.
Just from your presence.
Yeah, just.
I haven't started teaching yet.
And I wasn't even talking to that.
The presence.
Yeah.
Striking fear.
Oh, I remember the kids so clearly. Yeah. I think that very first class that you have,
yes,
you sort of always remember who they're going to be. And like, I do, like a lot of them as they got older, so I think a lot of them now are in their late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Yep.
They're now trying to follow me, asking to come on different social media platforms. And it's just nice to see where they're at and where they're, like a lot of them now have their own kids. So that's...
I'm one of those situations the other day. I taught a bit of a rat bag student at one of my first schools back down in Perth. I think it was year 10 at the time. Full of personality. Like, I liked him, full of personality and charm, but like he was like the last person to put the school into lockdown and stuff like that. Like he had a certain reputation there, but I ran into him a couple of weeks ago, and he's like mid-20s now. Yeah. He's doing well, man. Like, he's working in mining, he's got a family and stuff. And it's just like, it's funny how they mature as well.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, possibly teachers that write students off at that age. It's like, no, people are different, and you have to be reeled in a bit, but you can get through it. What were the hardest things about those first couple of years in teaching? For me, it was the planning.
Mm.
It was the planning, and you kind of feel like everything was changing all the time. Oh. Again, I think being in the country and was quite transient, people sort of stay for 2-3 years maybe.
Mm.
So you're doing your best to learn, you know, your behaviour strategies, trying to learn the curriculum.
Yes.
You're trying to learn, you know, just even... I kind of just, it was weird stuff, like certain people, and fair enough, certain staff members had certain positions due to their seniority in the staff room and stuff. But like, it was like, it's just all these, and you're taking those chairs and people giving you weird, like nothing personal here. I'm not trying to incite violence. But just all those little things sort of roll into one, and you're like, there's a fair bit going on here. But it was those long hours after school, and it was good at the time because I was younger and didn't have family commitments or whatnot, but it was putting that time in, and I felt like it wears you down. And I think possibly being away in the country made it a little bit harder as well, but it definitely made me a stronger teacher on the flip side when I got through. And I see graduates now, and we've had this conversation personally plenty of times, it's got to be that balance. And like I find these days when I leave school, I have set times when I get there and when I leave, and I don't check emails or don't do anything to do with school after I've left the office, because it is, because otherwise it just becomes never ending.
Yes.
And you're constantly trying to improve and you can't win.
So yeah, I agree. I look at that too. Definitely said I'm not going to be taking any work home,
mm-hmm.
because if I can't get it done today, there's always tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working on that sort of mentality. Not unless there's something that's popped up out of the blue,
mm-hmm.
and it's urgent and needs to be done. Yes, cool, let's get stuck into that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back at the pros and the cons of what happened in my first year, I think cutting your teeth on a... So, on an island school, I was actually quite fortunate because the numbers were quite low.
Okay.
So I had the ability to choose and to play around with different things. I think the cool things were that the whole community in that small island was all behind the teachers. But people knew, waved to you because they know who.
Yeah. Like
small
thing, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's some of the things that I miss, is that.
Yes.
When I was teaching back home in the town that I was in, everybody knew the teachers in the town.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know. Yeah, parents or kids would wave, or kids would wave and so forth.
Yep.
But being in a larger area, it's like you're just one off. But I think the main thing is, as long as you can make an impact on one kid's life, if you can impact one kid's life out of the whole, or if you can impact the whole lot.
Yes.
Irrespective, I think as long as the kids understand that you're investing into them and trying to make them the best that they possibly can, because I see a lot of kids coming from different environments and a lot of it's out of their control.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with different. So if I go back to how teaching was to what it is now, kids of today compared to old school teachers of yesteryear, two different things. You have to change with the times, but also bring things from before,
yeah,
bring it into here now, because sometimes those old values,
yeah,
which do hold strong, are very important for these kids to have, because sometimes all of these kids don't have them.
There's definitely a middle ground between experience, isn't there? Like, I find 15 years kind of puts me in a good position, yeah, because you're not new anymore, but you're not considered,
yeah,
well experienced. But like, I find, I think it's staying relevant without going over, yes, the top. Like, I've got basic social media, but like kids, I've got no idea what TikTok, and they come talk about TikTok. I'm like, this is, I'm late 30s and this is blowing my mind, let alone imagine someone's been here,
yeah,
for 30 years or longer in the industry. Like, it's just, it's in the way technology is evolving and all the kids and then mental health problems, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it is, man. Like, there is so much going on. So I get to the 5-year mark in my career. I'm like, yep, stoked, I've made it. I'm not going to be the 50%. So I mean, not to be the, I didn't drop out. I think there was pride in that. And I think it's the first 5 years, imagine you get through a bit and have those experiences early on that I think shaped me a bit for my teaching career. So I'd taken on year coordinator roles, which I think was good beyond the classroom, because it got me dealing with staff at a different level. Yeah. I was still pretty young. So, you know, it's interesting dealing with classroom behaviours with students is definitely different dealing with adults most of the time. There are some similarities, but like, I'm still young in my career, and you've got, you know, people that at the time had been around for decades,
yes,
just demanding stuff. I'll be like, this isn't right, this can't be the way that people talk to each other, am I doing something wrong? You have all these doubts and questions go through your mind. So I think just getting through that mark of the 5 years, I had that pride of, yeah, I knew I was going to be in teaching for a bit now, because I was enjoying it still. It's still challenging, still having, as I was saying, doubts all the time. But I was at a point in my career, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm happy now. I'm happy doing this. I'm happy to see where it's at. So your first 5 years, a couple of years on the island, and then back to a city?
Yeah, I actually, I think that the beautiful thing with the school that I did teach at that I really enjoyed was it had a real family feel to it. You had a group of, the school was pretty well designed to look after every kid that came there.
Yeah.
So even like in most schools, you always have kids that aren't suited for a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So the school deliberately had programs outside.
Working, oh, that's on good.
Small machines.
That's good.
You know, just hang on stuff. So that was deliberate. So when I look back over the first 5 years of my teaching, I think it is a goal. It's actually really neat to get to the 5-year mark, because
yep,
you're not new, but you're still sort of learning and finding what works well for you. In those first 5 years, you're sort of just hoping that you're doing really well and making sure that you're establishing what you need to get really well done,
yeah,
consolidated. But once you build on that, everything else just starts to build up and you can,
yes,
go off into different areas. So I went off into a lot of cultural stuff, and then from a lot of cultural stuff, I've done a lot of sporting stuff with teams.
Yep.
So I had to mentally prepare kids. So we were going up against bigger schools that had, I remember we took a group away for to play against Scheme of Touch, so we qualified them. Just the mere fact that we had, what was it, year 7 kids in our team versus a school that only had year 11 and 12.
Oh, wow.
And we beat them.
Yeah.
And it was just all around the mentality of trying to get these kids to the point of, yes, age does matter and size and stuff,
yeah,
but if you can work strategically as a team, you will either overcome whoever you have to overcome, or you will put up a really good fight.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to instill those sorts of things in the kids.
It's big, isn't it? They don't teach you that at graduate school. This is how you teach the curriculum. What happens when you don't teach the curriculum?
Yeah.
So to any of our graduate teacher listeners out there who are possibly nervous, what tips would you give to them starting out? My big one would be just, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes and make mistakes. And don't be too hard on yourself when you make it. As long as you're learning from it,
that's, right,
that's key. And there is. Like, it's not, and if you're doing everything perfect, I don't know how much you're evolving anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, I lived my life by it, just learn, make mistakes, mistakes all the time. But you do, you just got to pick yourself up. And that gets grinding and it wears you down, but it's big in teaching as well. And hopefully over time, the more you do that, the students pick up on that as well. And that starts to impart on them and then, you know, maybe it rubs off to something better.
That's it.
Pay attention to your well-being as well. Yep. I think don't make your teaching your everything. It can be easy to do in your first couple of years. You want to impress people and you want to make a name for yourself and your reputation and stuff. But just each day is a new day. It's going to be full-on days. You're going to walk to the car park at times and go, what the hell am I doing here? This is, I thought everything I read about teaching was this. It does that. No, as I was saying before, no 2 days are the same. Mm-hmm. And it will throw you under the car. But you pick yourself up and you go again. And I think the last one for me would be just keep a record. One, I had a really good guest lecturer at one point, or someone early in my career, I can't remember where it came from, outside of, or who was a retired teacher, retired principal or something. But he, from his start of a career, I just collected, had like a box of somewhere, I know it sounds corny, a box somewhere of all like positive stuff students had sent him, like cards and stuff and little notes. And like I did that from an early, probably when I first started teaching, I'd do like the days that I felt shocking, you'd go and check that box, like, okay, this is what I teach for, this is why I'm doing it. These little things add up for a while and make sense.
I think, as you said, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think one of the cool things you can also learn is to, when a kid pulls you up on a mistake that you put on the board.
Pride's not everything.
The thing you've got to also learn is to say to the kids, I deliberately put it up there just to see if I can find out my mistake. So yeah, you've got to find out some way. So,
My students can't read my mistakes.
So accept the fact that there are going to be mistakes, and that's cool. You know, I think if kids can put you in check, that's a good thing because it shows that they're listening or engaged, one of the one. Yeah.
Yes.
I think some of the other things as you were touching on with young people coming through, that life balance, it's absolutely important. You've got to, it's good to be a well-organized teacher, which you will eventually be if you're not, but you've also got to balance it up with keeping up with your family. And lastly, if I was to say something to a new person coming in, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy your days in the classroom. You're going to come across things that are going to be tough, yes.
Yes.
But find the, as you say, find the positives, find the good things that you like. It could just be one thing that made your day, you know, and you sort of reminisce on that sort of thinking, wow, this kid here done this, and it was something that they've never done before.
Yeah, man.
So find the positives, look for the good in kids.
Because
I remember I had two principals that I worked under who I really, really appreciate what they taught me was, one principal said, every kid has a jewel inside them. And there's other principal that he actually lectured around the world on the cognitive, was understanding how the brain works and the importance of teachers in developing that. I think what a lot of parents need to remember is they too are their kids' first teachers.
Yeah.
So what they instill into their kids, it shows as they come into high school, into primary schools. But it's also important for us as teachers, when we get these kids, yes, they come with baggage, and yes, some kids are absolutely outstanding, but we've just got to find them so that they
can. And still that self-worth. Yeah. No, I definitely agree, man. So there you go. I mean, hopefully, there's new teachers out there. Hang on in there.
Yes,
we wish you the best for the year. The teachers returning, obviously, wish you the best for the year as well.
Yes.
Concluding remarks, my man.
So I'll tell you what, I used to, every time coming into the new year, leading up to maybe the last 2-3 days,
I
already come to school. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. But over the last two, three years now, sleeping like a baby.
Right, season veteran, mate.
Get up in the morning, mate, get the school done. Yeah.
Got the routine going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky time at the start of the year, because your mind can go crazy with all the things happening.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, my man. That's a wrap.
Thank you
all for listening, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.